Hey, I'm Adam Carolla.
I'm Dr. Drew.
And we are here to ask you to do us a little favor. If you like what you hear, share it with a friend.
Nice. Keep the pirate ship afloat, right?
Yeah, well, that's the only advertising we got. But it's the best kind.
It is.
Word of mouth.
It is.
Whose mouth?
Yours. Not yours, theirs.
Theirs.
Theirs, yes.
That's right. Thank you in advance for telling a friend, and enjoy the show.
This is Carolla Digital. Recorded live at Carolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on. Mandate, get it on, and welcome to the program. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew over there. I'm humbled by the note I have in my hand, Dr. Drew.
I see that. I'm humbled just by looking at what the thing is attached to that note.
And the flag that you held in your hand moments ago. I think either we have to burn the flag or I think we can burn you.
Either or.
I'm not sure what protocol is,
either
but
one.
I don't want to burn the flag.
Just not both of us.
Drew's got to go.
Yeah. All right. We'll burn Drew after the show because I think your foot touched the ground while you're touching the flag. I'm no flag historian.
No, that's a rule.
Oh, okay, good. Oh, you should have seen Max Zapata over the weekend.
I did see him. I saw him and he was in his glory.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Oh, you should have seen him earlier that day. Oh my God, at the Quail. Oh, he was going berserk.
Dined like a king.
Then we stopped at Anderson's split pea soup on the way
home. Ooh, that's big time.
Mm-hmm. I got to tell you something.
By the way, it's pea soup Anderson. How dare you?
It's not Anderson's
split
pea soup?
I don't
think it's pea soup. All right. I know this sounds corny, but L.A. is such a piece of shit that I actually miss sitting in a place that would be considered and described as corny to anybody who was from L.A. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just waitresses that called you hun.
Mm-hmm.
And when you order iced tea, you're going to get actual iced tea.
What?
Does not taste like passion fruit or potpourri that's been put in a tube sock and dipped in warm water. Where the folks are like heavy set and sort of jolly and rosy cheeked, and everyone's ordering like weird things like shit on a shingle, stuff, you know, like chipped beef and, you know, and extra, mashed potatoes and stuff like that, you know, and there's like
gravy.
Bratwurst and gravy. Yeah. Like it just felt like a little, it's a time machine.
Oh my God. Did you guys actually get your picture taken there?
We took a photo there.
Yeah, I see it.
It's a good trip.
Yeah, it was a good trip.
Why does Max Zapata look wasted? Or like recovering from being wasted?
I might be wasted.
Okay.
Yeah, everybody was recovering from the weekend before. But it was a nice, like, at first, we just walked in and there was like Muzak playing, not Katy Perry or Rihanna. Like that was number one. Number two, it had that smell of like old vinyl. Like that old tile, you know, that smelled like that 50s. Lots of tchotchkes floating around. And that thing where they give you the bill and you pay at the counter. They trust you.
And they had a cash register.
Yeah. It was just sort of old-timey and nicey sitting in a booth, you know. And like I said, waiters and waitresses that weren't actors and models. They're just waiters and waitresses. It's kind of refreshing.
But a lot of America is that way in the middle.
Oh, yeah.
Just, you know, get that out here.
We just live in the part where there's nothing but fucking attitude and techno music blaring all the time, and everyone's edgy and everyone's cool. And somehow the guy who works at the W Hotel is above you when you're checking in because he has a black turtleneck sweater and a fucking headset on. Like, by the way, I feel like we wear headsets 60 to 70% more than we need them.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, airplane pilots need headsets.
Yeah.
Guys working at the W Hotel, standing in front.
No.
Next to the elevator banks.
Makes them look official, though.
Right. It's got that headset.
I guess Secret Service needs a little something.
Yeah. Just not the, you know, bisexual waif model in front of the W with the fucking turtleneck and the attitude. I don't need that guy with the fucking headset. You ever see those guys going down? Guys going down like Pacific Coast Highway, and they're on the Honda Gullwing. That's a motorcycle, Drew.
Okay, thanks.
Big motorcycle.
Thank you.
And they got it all decked out, and they got their old lady in back, yeah. And they're wearing the helmet with the intercom.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think, to me, I'd probably steer into a cattle truck after a good 2 hours on the road of that.
Oh, yeah.
Imagine just someone just talking into your head.
It's not a young person's thing.
Actually, I think Lynette would jump off the motorcycle and just take her chances. You know what I mean? Like when a dog jumps out of a moving car.
Oh, yeah. There's no doubt in my mind.
Yeah. Imagine me with a microphone, and there's just a jump cord going from my mic to your ears, and you have to sit behind me while we drive from San Diego to Modesto.
Oh.
Could you imagine?
It's not a young man's thing. Not a young man's thing. You know what I'm saying? I don't understand the impulse to do that.
I don't.
Like, couldn't you just get a Yugo or something and have the same experience?
Well, the thing with the bike is once you get the fairing and it's the full fairing and you have the heated grips and the stereo and you're pulling the trailer and you got your old lady on the back and you have the luggage compartments.
It's a car.
And the little wheels come down. Mm-hmm. They even have like the little training wheels come down when you get to the stop sign because it's too heavy to hold up. And, you know, you're getting 17 miles on the open highway to the gallon. At that point, go ahead and get a car.
Right?
At that point, driving a convertible down the same road is more of a visceral experience.
Right.
All right. That's just me. Now, what I'm holding in my hand that is making me humble is a note that came along with the flag from Sergeant. And by the way, it's the SSG, so I don't know if that's second sergeant or something. I don't know if the sergeant does the two S's. I'm not up on my military, whatever. But I will tell you this. It says, Mr. Carolla, the enclosed flag and certificate is presented to you. Please, easy with the mic, Drew. Please. No reason to touch it. To you on behalf of the men and women. So dejected that he can't punch his mic. On behalf of the men and women of the 36th Combat Aviation Brigade and of the F Company 171st, Medevac. Boy, that's hairy, the Medevac guys. Your flag was flown over the forward operating base, Sharana, and taken on an actual combat mission dated 02 May 2013. This flag is in appreciation of your support to the men and women of the United States Armed Forces. On a personal note, I would like to say thank you for allowing me this honor of having a flag flown in your name. As a soldier, I'd like to thank you for your years of entertainment that you've given to all of us and your fans in the military. I'd also like to personally say that I appreciate you being a voice of reason in a time when there seems to be none. Many men. All right, Drew, are you okay over there?
I didn't do anything. The thing's buzzing.
All right, but is there such a thing as me reading a goddamn letter from a soldier without you, like. Why is your phone buzzing?
Because I'm a physician. The thing goes off all the time.
All right, can you put it on a padded thing? Yeah. All right. Fuck was I? Ah, yes. Getting back to me being a hero.
Yeah.
I would also like to personally say appreciate you being a voice of reason in a time when there seems to be none. Many men and women have fought to give men like you the freedom to tell the truth. Oh, I love this guy. Please do not allow those voices that would try to silence you from exercising your First Amendment rights. In closing, I would like to tell you that I hope whenever you look upon this flag, you will be filled with pride. I shall let this flag be a symbol to you to be the voice of those who are voiceless and afraid to speak out against oppression. Tried to make one more sound before we got through the bottom of this. Let it give you inspiration to know you can overcome the battles you face. Thank you again for this honor. That is Donald Denson. And I believe it's Staff Sergeant Donald Denson. Thank you so much. I'm humbled by this. And yes, Drew, now you can start throwing things around because I'm done with that.
I have a couple of really interesting reactions to that.
Please.
One is I feel like you should like drape yourself in that flag and walk around all day like, fuck you. I'll say whatever I want.
Yes.
And just hold the note like pinned to your chest. Mm-hmm. Like, see, this guy's fighting so I can say these sets of things.
Mm-hmm.
It just flies in the face of the PC bullshit.
Yes.
Doesn't it? Where you know there's a guy out there fighting so you can have a freedom to speak up, and people out here are like, hey, man, shut up. Who do you think you are? I'm just thinking of how far down the road away from free speech we have gotten.
The flag was flown in Afghanistan, by the way. Well, you're free to say whatever you want. You're just going to get beat up.
Well,
Alexis,
I've always referenced Alexis de Tocqueville, who was a Frenchman that came here in the 1820s and observed democracy in America. And he felt that in spite of having a stated – I hope I'm paraphrasing this correctly – but the stated free speech, that we actually had less free speech than most people because most countries, because the pressure of the town square wouldn't tolerate any actual free speech. Mm-hmm. People wouldn't tolerate it. They'd mm-hmm. be outraged. Well, now we have the internet. We have social media to in which people can act that crap out and limit everyone's free speech.
Yeah, well, you know, my main thing and what I realize is I just don't care that much.
But you're able to go on through it. A lot of people cave.
Well,
you know, I feel it all the time. I'm just thinking about this one thing I said. I said I was ODing on a television show, and I must have had 500 people go, how dare you make a reference to – oh, you should know better than to use the word OD. Really? We now have language police too?
Yeah.
We have language police. We have idea police.
Mm-hmm.
We have judgment police.
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck is going on here?
I don't know. I can tell you a story that might interest you regarding the speech.
Mm-hmm.
I had was coaching my son's basketball team, as you know. I coached a few games, coached a few practices. I was the assistant coach on the basketball team. After one of the games... recently, a woman of color came up to me and said, hey, I need to talk to you about something you said. And I said, what about? I heard.
Nice.
Now, that's the good stuff, when people inform people of things. I heard that bit you were doing on your podcast. I didn't hear it myself. Somebody told me where you were talking about the kids and all their funny new age names.
The kids on the basketball team.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you couldn't remember their names because they were so crazy.
Yes. And I said, yeah. And she said, at a certain point, you said you didn't want to yell out Jufro and Half-Breed. I said, yes. She said, my sons are mixed race. I said, I didn't know. There's a couple of black kids on the team. I just thought they were black kids. I didn't know they're half
and
half.
They must have been Native American if she took issue with Half-Breed.
No. She said...
What?
Well, first off, she said she works in comedy and thinks I'm very funny. So I'm sure she has a wonderful sense of humor. I said... I intentionally chose Half-Breed and Jufro because there are no Jewish kids on the team, and Half-Breed is just, you know, that's a Cher song from the 70s
talking about American
Indians.
But you're saying there are no Native American kids on the team.
And no Jews on the team. Okay. So I used Jufro and Half-Breed, and okay. She said, well, my sons are half black, which I didn't know. There are two black kids on the team with what I perceived to be, or somebody told me, they have a Jewish dad, and I thought they'd adopted. I didn't know about the mother, so they are mixed in their race. And so I said, well, I wasn't talking about your kids, because I didn't know that, first off, that your kids were mixed, number one, and then number two, I'm half-breed, some sort of pejorative for American Indian. It's not pejorative for half black. No one calls anyone who's half black a half breed. Not that I'm aware of. I've never heard of that.
Unless there's Native American as the other half.
Right. Oh, that's a good point.
It's like,
Yeah, I guess if we got Cher together with Wesley Snipes, then we'd have a half-breed. So I said, so I wasn't talking about anybody on this team, and that was, I did it intentionally. And she said, well, I just thought you should know. And then she said, and my kids have an afro. And I said, yeah, I have an afro too. And she said,
but you have a, not just an afro, you have a Jufro.
I have a Jufro.
Let's be fair.
And then she said, you know, so basically I just explained it.
Yeah.
But that's not good enough in the world we're living in.
No.
Because, of course.
She's concerned.
She's concerned. Right. Why wouldn't you need to settle the hash of the guy who volunteers to coach your kids?
Well, she wouldn't dare thank you for that.
I thought she was coming up to thank me. She was coming up to straighten me out. I don't think she's a bad woman. I don't think she's a mean woman. The comedy parts, that...
We'll see.
I'd like to see a five-minute set. But the part where I needed to be straightened out, because she'd heard from somebody. By the way, the person was concerned, what? That their seven-year-olds were listening to the podcast? Whose feelings are we talking about here? The 7-year-olds?
No, concerned that there's a wild man on the loose whose speech needs to be brought down. You understand?
I'm the guy who's volunteering to help your kids learn basketball on Mondays and Saturdays for free. I'm the least of your problems and probably not a racist because I wouldn't be volunteering to teach kids of another race other than my own if I was in fact that. But it's a part of a new world, which is, oh, no, you don't get it. You are. And so she said, I said, half-breed is a Cher song that's basically pejorative for American Indian. And unfortunately, she was out of steam at that point, but that never stopped anyone from continuing.
Right.
So she said, you know, her kids were mixed and blah, blah, blah. And I said, yeah, again, back to the Indian thing. And she said, there's somebody at work who's a half Christian and half Jewish, and they call him half breed. And at that point, I was just thinking, what the fuck do you want me to do? So fire the person, or does the person laugh about it? Who calls who half breed at work who's half Jewish? And are you not allowed to kid around with a colleague that's half Jewish and half Christian or Catholic?
Isn't what's funny about it the misapplication of the term? It's the misapplication to a – right?
Right.
That's what's funny.
Right, right. So here's my point. Nice lady, nice couple. The person that informed them, that person that always informs them, I would like that person to find a piece of rebar that's rusty, sharpen it, and then dip it in Hippo Flop so that the infection will set in,
sure.
And then just fall on it.
Yeah.
Because the person, I've had these people in my life where they have to inform my sister that I called their kids Nazis, when I did not, of course, when they have to inform my wife of every little thing that I've said about her on my show. It's just thought you should know. Very concerned. By the way, what if they didn't know? It's not like they heard it. It's not like their kids ever heard it, but that's the world we're living in, and that we look at as progress. For me, all it makes me want to do is not fucking coach next year, because I don't want to fucking deal with it. You coach your own kid. Good. Come on down. Coach your own kid. You spend Mondays and Saturdays there, and I'll just stay home in my air-conditioned house. How
but
about that?
It's specifically the intent is to suppress your speech.
She wouldn't say it's to suppress me. She would tell me it's to educate
me. To adjust your speech.
She needs to educate me. Why the example of there's a guy I work with who's half Jewish and half Christian that we call half breed? I don't know what the fuck you want me to do with that morsel. But again, nice couple, nice woman. Sure, she's hilarious. But I don't know what the impulse is, and more importantly, the impulse of the person that decided to get her to come up and have a nice chat with me after I was done coaching her sons in a basketball game. But that's the world we've carved out. You guys are much better than I am. You're much more evolved than I am. You're much funnier than I am, that's for sure. And you're creating a utopia one awkward conversation at a time.
But doesn't it now piss you off that this guy's fighting so you can continue to express yourself and You've got people who feel entitled. At their entitled to suppress your speech. You know what I'm saying? This guy's fighting for it.
She said she was a fan. She said she had a sense of humor. And I don't think she was trying to suppress me. She was trying to educate me. But
the fact is, she is suppressing your speech. She is impairing your free
expression. You know what it is, Drew? It's narcissism.
I understand that.
I was not talking about you or your kids, sweetie. But this is an important thing we need to get to. This is not about me. It's about you. I was not talking about you. Now get over it and move on. I know somebody is trying to twist it. He's talking about your kids. No, he's not talking about your kids.
But
he's moving
on. It's more than that. We're all equal in the importance of our opinions.
Yes.
So I have a democratic source of expression, the internet, whatever.
Yes.
And my opinion is valid as anybody's, which is true. However, that being the case, let's be respectful of everyone's ability.
Well, that was her point. Let's be respectful. Look, again, I like the woman. I like her husband. I love her kids. I'm just saying that is a conversation that we did not need to have.
All right.
And go ahead and keep that one to yourself next time. And again, whoever initiated the conversation by going, did you hear, and I'm sure embellishing a little bit, that person needs to kill themselves. That's the way I feel.
Now,
I've always felt that way. Hold on. Another thing to this business.
You're pointing at the flag.
Yes, I'm pointing at the flag is, you know, it takes a hero to be a dad, or it takes courage to be a dad. The latest one now is it takes courage to save money. Oh, have you seen that?
That's a good one.
Yeah. Oh, no, they're serious.
Wow.
And all I could think of, no, it takes courage to jump out of a Higgins craft when you hit Normandy and there's a German pillbox firing 50 caliber machine gun bullets at you. That's courage. Saving money, that's not courage. That's no shit, Sherlock. That's what you do. That's what you're supposed to do. Taking care of your kids, that's what you're supposed to do. There's no heroes involved with taking care of your kids. Taking care of someone else's kid, perhaps coaching them in basketball, that's hero status. But your own kids? No, those are your kids. And I was laughing about it on O'Reilly, which is these are the PSAs we're getting now. What can my children look forward to? Be a hero, sit up.
Breathe.
Chew and swallow.
Oh, breathing. I think breathing is the next one.
Oh, no. I think what's done. No, that's voluntary. I would say sitting up, wiping.
holding your duke.
holding your bowels while you're on public transportation. Yes, these are the next generation of heroes.
That's a hero, yes.
All right. So,
I have another reaction.
The real heroes are guys like Donald Denson.
Well, I have another reaction to Mr. Dixon's letter.
Denson.
Denson, I beg your pardon. And that is, with all the shit you talk about people that go into the military and all the shit you throw at cops, they sure do love you. How's that work?
I will say this. I have found folks, basically, there's three groups of people that enjoy straight talk. You ready?
I'm ready. I'm sitting down. Sitting up. I'm a hero.
Military guys.
Yeah.
Cops and black dudes. They all fucking love just some shit talking. And a straight up.
Yeah.
They don't mind.
It's pointing at them.
I've spoken shit about many a group, and those are the groups that never seem to give a shit.
Well, not just give a shit.
They like it.
They embrace it. Well, if you know what they like is somebody willing to speak something truthful.
Yes.
But not disdainful.
Yes.
Because you don't disdain. You actually admire and appreciate it.
No, listen. We were driving home from Pebble Beach after watching Chris eat for 3 days. And
evidently drink. I saw that puss. It's a
drunk. Yeah, it was
oh my God.
Yeah, watching him eat and drink for 3 days. And we were driving home, and I said to everyone in the car, what did your parents want you to do? As I certainly know, it was not devouring food and drinking like a homeless person.
I thought it was engineering a podcast with a genius.
Chris said, my mom wanted me to be a nurse.
What? Shock. Are you kidding? Wait. What's his ethnicity again?
Filipino.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Always money. Different.
And
always
by the way,
money in the nursing
that may not be as obvious to around the country as it is in Southern California, where we only have Filipino nurses. It's also sort of weird law in Southern California.
Southern California is a thing where people have an ethnicity, and then you pick a job, and then everybody does it, like pharmacists.
Yeah.
When's the last blue-eyed pharmacist you've seen who wasn't like Croatian or something? You know what I mean? Like pharmacists is always a crazy nationality with the pharmacy. Nursing, always a crazy nationality. There's always something going on.
Well, and then TSA, each airport has its own.
Yeah, LAX is black, and we've been to ones that are like Indian.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I don't know, one guy gets in and then gets everyone in the neighborhood and every family member in. I guess, I imagine, because we have passed through. And then there's like New York, which is kind of a hodgepodge.
Mixed, yeah.
But we were going through, I don't know, Kentucky or something, and it was all Eastern Indian people working there. And it was weird, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah, it was weird because it was Kentucky.
Yeah.
It was wherever it was. Ohio or something. And then it was exclusively.
Right. Now the Filipino thing is a nursing thing. And look. That's a piece of sound advice right there, where you go, always in demand, real good pay, and plenty of chances to move on up. But then at some point, Jeff Fox, who's in the next room, said, my dad wanted me to go into the military. And I think another guy, Matt DeAndrea, who was in the car, said his dad sort of wanted him to go into the military too. And then I thought to myself, every human being, every guy I knew, every Gentile I knew, meaning the Jews who lived up in Hebrew Heights and went off to Stanford and Berkeley, fine. They're lawyers and real estate guys now. But every guy I went to high school with, other than those guys, should have went into the military from 18 to 22. But we didn't do a fucking thing between 18 and 22 except for get drunk and piss on each other. And the jobs we had were picking up garbage on a construction site, doing carpet cleaning. I mean, there's no skill.
Did you ever think about it?
Anything. I did think about it. It was so alien from where I came from.
But not just where you came from. That period of history, there was just beginning to be a voluntary military. Mm-hmm. You got to remember, it was military. We just come out of the draft. It's like, ugh, that's the man doing horrible things. Military is awful.
You're going to get a buzz cut, you're going to have to go somewhere in like North Carolina, and it's going to be all humid.
I mean, what were those movies where they'd show kids going with the long hair, getting drafted in buses, and then crying when their hair is getting cut?
Every movie was about someone getting on a bus.
Yeah.
At some point, some drill instructor would pop into the bus, and he'd go, I own your ass now. Your mommy and daddy ain't around anymore. And guess who owns you? I own you. Now, and then they'd show them getting their hair shaved off.
And crying.
And then at a certain point, that same guy would come in with a trash can, like a wooden spoon in it at like 5 a.m. and start banging. Okay, pussies. Tea time is over.
But what's crazy is then you'd be back then you were supposed to identify with the kids getting the haircut. Now you're like, yeah. Straighten these kids out.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? We should have been identifying with the drill sergeant.
I know, but I was 18 and I was like, I don't want to get woken up at 5 a.m. by a guy with a trash can and a soup spoon and my hair buzzed off. So it's like, I can't. So I did nothing for the next 4 years. And then these guys get out and they have benefits and GI loans and bills
stuff.
And
yeah.
training and yeah. stuff like that. They learn how to work on a jet engine or something.
Yeah.
Like me and everyone I know should have done it. Instead, we just hung out and smoked pot and worked odd jobs.
So you're saying what? It's a good thing then now that we have that option and it's more embraced. And Chris, basically we're saying, Chris, you need to join the military. I think that's what this is all about. It's time.
Yeah.
And Gary, you better follow on in.
You want me in the military?
Yeah.
A little less stoned, but yes. Yes.
He was not stoned. He was drunk.
No, right now. I'm talking about
now.
I'm not stoned.
All right. Me and Dr. Drew, Hampton Beach, New Hampshire, Boston, Wilbur Theater, and Newport, Rhode Island at the Yatchit Club.
Can I say something? I just did an interview in Springfield, Massachusetts, and I mentioned how delightful you're undoubtedly going to be after us getting up at 5 in the morning and flying to Boston and then driving to New Hampshire. You will be in your glory.
Mm-hmm.
Chris, would you like to come on that adventure?
I will not be
there. Yeah, yeah. And their response to me was, you're going to try and drive from Boston to Hampton Beach on Friday afternoon? That's not possible. It'll take 7 hours.
Oh, really?
And I was like, what? They go, oh, yeah. It's like the entire town goes to that beach, particularly the last 2 weekends of summer. And if you think you're going to make that in less than 4 hours, you better think again. And I thought, okay.
Well, I got to tell you, I did this already.
On a Friday?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
No, but this is much worse.
Oh, no.
I was playing like Squanto's Retreat in Connecticut.
Yeah.
And we had to
Crazy talk.
Leave. He's my cousin.
Right. He's cousin. Crazy talk.
We left, you know, it was one of those leave your house at 5, 7 a.m. flight,
yeah.
LAX.
Well, exactly what we're doing.
Right. Land in Logan.
Yeah.
Except for it was raining.
Oof.
And it took us forever to rent the van.
Yeah.
And then when we got the van.
Are we renting cars this time? Yeah. Well.
Then we got to drive
it. Yeah.
When we got the van.
Yes.
The motherfucker. When we're leaving the fucking gate, we said. Now, we had to get on. I'm just going to make up numbers, so don't hold me to it. But we had to take the. We had to get on the 15 and take that out to Connecticut or wherever we were going, wherever the Indian casino was.
Probably right? The Mass Pike and then
right. So we had to take the Pike or whatever it is. And we said to the guy who worked at the rental car gate who was 10 feet in front of the street, obviously we're going to turn turn onto.
I know where you're going with this.
We said, "How do we get onto the 17 from here?" And he said, "Go up to this intersection and turn right."
Oh.
Now, the intersection had a signal and straight with a slight veering to the right was the 15, which would have taken you to the 17.
Right.
Going to the intersection and turning right took you around the airport into the back part where there was some security breach and some construction going on. Like, you've never driven. We're like out on the tarmac point.
I have done this multiple times.
And it's like,
for the same reason.
Hello, insane douche. Fuck. Everybody who rents a car, by virtue of the fact that they're renting a car, means they're not from here, right? Because nobody who lives in Boston lands in Logan and then goes, I could take a cab or shuttle, but I like to rent a minivan and drive that back to my home in Boston proper. So, of course, you fucking aren't from here. And then when you want to get on the fucking 15 and there's a big thing that says 17 North, your answer is, go straight, it'll say 17, stay on the 17, it'll turn into the 15, not go to the signal, turn right.
And by the way, it's a little more
by
dicey.
The way, why do we rent a van and want to circle the airport?
Because there's two tunnels out, if you'll recall.
Yes.
And you want certain tunnel because one goes to the dig and one goes to the highway and one goes to Doro Street, and there's one up on top that goes on a bridge. And you got to make sure you hit the right one for the road or you're going to be gone for an hour.
We were gone for an hour,
yeah.
And eventually we circled back around, and Mike was like, if we weren't running late, I would just drive through that guy's guard check in this fucking van right now. Like, I would just go in there and we'd all just fucking jump out and give him a prison-style beating right now if we weren't fucking already running late. We drove around, we drove all the way around the airport, and then finally got back to the intersection. And not only did he tell us to turn right at the intersection, but he didn't include the part where it says, you know, northbound 17 going to turn into 15. Just go on the one that says northbound 17. Well, we're trying to get on the 15. That doesn't look like the right on-ramp for us. So he already told us to turn right. But this is what you do for a living, person. And I use that loosely. This is what you do. But who employs these people? And what the fuck is the plan?
I know.
Okay, and then it started raining, and then it got dark, and then we got deep into Connecticut, and then there are no signs for the casino, and then the guy who was giving us directions had never been to the casino before, and it was...
Is this that casino that has the huge sweep up to it? You're like, it's little two-lane highways until you get to this gigantic sweep.
Yeah, long story short, the show was at 8. It was 8:25. We were in the van. I left my house at 5:30 in the morning, and I needed to shave, shower, get
shit.
Dressed.
Everything with an
shit, everything with an ass. And it was literally, is there a shower in the dressing room? And at some point, Mike was screaming at the guy. It was pitch black. It was raining hard. Mike was driving this minivan like a maniac and screaming at the guy on the cell phone. We had no idea where we were. Eventually, we rolled in. It was like 8:35, and it was like, change your shirt, slap some water on your face, drink a cup of coffee, and get out and do 90 minutes.
Well,
and I was disoriented.
That's what I'm anticipating in New Hampshire.
That's fine.
Except Connecticut is like close compared to New Hampshire.
All right. Well, I'll go find a map. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Tease a call, Drew.
Trying to get married. What? Let's try line one. Mario, I'm intrigued.
Okay.
He wants to drop a digit on her husband.
All right.
Fuck.
Wait, Mario?
That's what I'm trying to figure out. Well, it's from Vegas. It's got to be good.
All right, next.
Allison Rosen. Hey, everyone. It's me, Allison Rosen, from Allison Rosen is Your New Best Friend. On Thursday, I sat down with Matt the Porcelain Punisher, Chris Laxamana, Gary, and my friend Jenna, and we discovered that Matt is unfamiliar with the incognito web browsing window.
Hold on a second. So you're saying if I open your laptop right now and type in Y-O-U into a web browser?
Oh, you'll get... Oh, yeah. You absolutely will. All of the porn that I've looked at will pop up.
You need to fucking grow up,
son. I typed on your computer something earlier today, and then I ate my hands.
I don't understand the purpose of an incognito window. If you're looking at porn, I'm assuming that you are by yourself. Why do I need this to be incognito?
No, it deletes it from your history.
When your mother tries to borrow your computer and go to YouTube or some shit, or your girlfriend, or
whatever.
Your nephew, or your roommate.
That.
Like,
fine. I honestly don't care about any of that. It's totally fine. I look at porn. Fine. Does anyone else notice that Gary is so popular, every time he opens up his mic, we hear a text or a phone vibrate? We're like 10 for 10 on that.
Absolutely no one knew that was me until you just fucking said it, because Allison's looked at her own phone every single time. So thanks, Dick.
I'm just saying.
Thank you, Dick.
For the last 2 weeks, I've been hearing episodes where Gary pops in and a text goes off.
What if the guy was like green? You wouldn't care.
Did you say green?
Yeah. Like Hulk porn? I'm talking Hulk porn? Like, yeah.
And on Monday, I sat down with Tom Green.
I'm not on drugs or anything, okay?
And we talked about all sorts of stuff, including his friendship with Andrew Dice Clay, his midlife crisis, and his love of Adam's Mangria. Subscribe to Allison Rosen is Your New Best Friend on iTunes or go to AllisonRosen.com. New episodes every Monday and Thursday. I love you.
Allison's your new best friend.
Yeah, get it on, baby. Can't stop this pirate ship, bitches. It's the Ace Man and Drewski over there. Thank you so much for listening.
Yeah. A little affection in that.
Tell
what the hell's
a friend,
going on,
man. Here? Spread it around. That's, you know, talking about free speech. The speech that needs to be the freest is the speech you give to people as to why they need to listen to this program and all the programs on this network, because then we do whatever the fuck we want. And that's the beauty of us. But we can't do it without you. Also, if you want to put a little wind in the sails of the pirate ship, you click through the Adam and Dr. Drew Show banner at Amazon. So you click through the Amazon link at adamanddrdrewshow.com, and you subscribe via the PayPal button. Help us stay afloat. Couple bucks. Put yourself down for $5 a month. It's good juju.
Good juju?
Good juju, man. It's Mojo's cousin with the learning disability.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. All right. We want to talk to Mario.
Mario, line one.
Mario, line
gentlemen,
one.
Adam, Drew, get it on.
What's going on?
Got to.
Mm-hmm.
Dig.
My friend just got married.
Mm-hmm.
And now she confided in me that now that they're married, she hopes that he has enough trust in her to allow her to drop a digit on him.
Mm-hmm.
I said it had nothing to do with trust. it either had to do with her wanting to dominate him, or she's been in line at the bum buffet a couple of times, and now she just wants it to be okay.
No. She's been reading too many shitty magazine articles. And she thinks that, oh, I know what I'm going to do for my husband. He's going to love this.
I would have loved to have been there when the vows were read. And I hope this was woven in.
Of course.
For me, the whole digit dropping part is, you know, people do the, there's a lot of, how do you know you ain't going to be into it if you haven't? And it's like, people eat monkey brains, and I don't want to eat monkey brains. And how do I know I'm not going to like monkey brains? No.
Let's put it this way. I got a converse version. How do you know you're going to like to put your penis in there? How do you know? You're going to like to put your penis in that vagina? How do you know?
Yeah, that's a good point.
You know what you like. Men know what they like. There's no like, we have to explore to figure this out. Men know exactly, and it takes about 3 dates before they're dumping that on their women.
Right.
Right?
Yeah. So innately, we know what we do like, and I would argue that innately, we know what we don't like.
But women kind of don't have that. They kind of have to explore. Like, well, I don't really have orgasm yet. I'm 22, and I got to kind of figure that out. There's no figuring out with the male body.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So women assume that, oh, no, just like I had to figure out what I really liked, he's going to love this. No.
No.
Absolutely. Absolutely not.
Right.
That's not how the male works at all.
All right. So what advice?
Tell her to shut up.
Okay.
Really, that stuff makes me sort of angry, because if the guy wants that,
I mean, is this like 50 Shades of Grey stuff?
No, it's Cosmo. How to Drive Your Man Wild, 10 things. Every damn, right? Every article, the front page of the goddamn paper of the magazine has something about that. And so therefore, all men love this. No, that's about, what, 10, 15 percent of guys that
I would expand it outside the bedroom. I'd be like, suck his cock, make him a pot roast, and stop talking about your fucking friends.
Yes.
You want to drive your man wild? There's my 3 tips. We cool? There's Ace Mo's 3 tips.
Ace Mo's.
On how to drive your man wild.
But that is a great point, that it really, they should be including, like, let him watch SportsCenter, get him a beer.
Yeah, you don't have to put a feather duster up his ass. Just follow those 3 simple steps.
Tell him you appreciate all his hard work.
Ooh.
Can you imagine that?
Ah. Woo. That's a crazy one. All right. Let's hop on the phones here.
Ryan.
You know what? Let me give a little love to one of our sponsors. DraftKings, baby. Fantasy football back in full effect. DraftKings is where you go. DraftKings.com. Celebrating with millions in cash prizes. One day fantasy sports, it means you never get locked out of a season. Don't you hate it, Drew? You pick up your team. Someone tears an ACL. Whole season's gone.
Shot.
Not with DraftKings, baby. You pick your team in minutes. You play for your share of the $1 million awarding during kickoff week. Anyone can enter for just a couple of bucks. You can win big cash. True story. Guy won $100,000 very first time out. DraftKings, baby.
Play for free. Yes, free at DraftKings.com. Enter Drew with your first pay game and get free entry into the $1 million kickoff bash. Seriously, free entry that could win you thousands. Just playing fantasy football, use Drew at DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com.
And tell him Drew sent you. All right, so line 3.
I was thinking 5, but go ahead.
All right. Frank?
Hey, Adam, Drew, how you doing?
Frank? Good, how you doing?
Good. This is actually a follow-up to a call I made to you guys about a year ago. I had just taken the bar exam, and I had massive anxiety about passing.
Oh, I kind of remember guys, this. Were we doing this? Wait. Oh, I was like a guest or something. I don't think we were actually doing this yet.
I do remember the question. Yeah.
It was before you started this podcast, but it was the one-off podcast.
Yeah.
Well, as I said at the time, our mayor of Los Angeles failed 4 times and did 2 terms as a mayor. And now he's off to Harvard.
To do what?
As a guest, with the
guest lecturers.
Associate or whatever. You know, so you spend 4 months there. So people.
At the business school or something? Doing what?
I hope they have an equestrian center, because I don't know what the fuck he's talking about. I don't know. I really don't know what the guy who failed the bar four times and drove the city into bankruptcy has to discuss to the good folks of Harvard. But that's what your $65,000 a year is going toward.
But here's there's a lot of weird sort of what's the word I'm looking for? Sort of rubber stamping. If I'm going to Harvard as a guest lecturer, that can mean you just stand up and give a lecture one day. You know what I mean? That's not your assistant or associate professor.
He's a visiting fellow.
Okay. That's doesn't mean anything. That means I'm going to a conference. I'm going to a conference at Harvard.
No. Fine.
I'm sharing ideas with my peers.
That's a feather in the cap of the folks at Harvard?
Well, yeah, because he's a minority guy, and he's a mayor, and he's mayor for two terms.
He's a minority guy.
But it'd be interesting. I'd be interested in hearing what his experience was.
He can't string a sentence together.
I know,
there's no experience to share. He cannot speak. You, huh?
Yeah, see what that says?
What's it say?
Says they're what institute director is that? What institute of what? Is that like the government center? And it says the short-term appointment is designed to bring high-profile individuals to the campus to share their experiences from being in office.
He didn't work.
Well,
there was a whole story in the LA Weekly that he worked less than 18% of the time. Hey, how do you fuck a Telemundo reporter? Hands going up all over the room. How do you fucking how do you fucking fail the bar four times and become the mayor of one of the seventh largest economy in the world? How do you do that? Those would all be the questions. My questions would all be, how can you be such a colossal fuck up and still dupe people into voting for you? That would be my questions. The man is, he has a personality disorder, but intellectually, he's a fucking dwarf.
Why do you hate him so much? Just because there's plenty of people in politics that are worse.
First off, I live in the city that he's been dry fisting for the last, what feels like forever, nine years. But hold on. He is dumb. He is not smart. If you ever hear him attempt to speak, minus a teleprompter, he's a fucking mess. And that's fine. There are plenty of dumb people in the world.
In politics, too.
He has a personality disorder. I told you, I realized it when I was volunteering to do this sort of community gives back thing for the housing, urban development, whatever it was, a man of the year, blah, 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 Sheraton Universal. I was emceeing the night. I was bringing up different volunteers and dignitaries and people like that.
I've actually not heard the stories. I'm interested. Go ahead.
To receive awards. This is many years ago.
Yeah.
And I didn't know the mayor. I didn't know anything about him. And I said, all right, so what's the lay of the land here? Because I got there early to emcee this thing, charity event. Mm-hmm. And it's an auction, and you're going to auction off Shaq's shoe, and then you're going to bring up this guy because he raised this money for this housing for disabled people and blah, blah, blah. And then at a certain point, it was Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa, whose name is Tony Villar. That's strike number one. And he changed his name after college to Tony Villar. From Tony Villar to Antonio Villaraigosa.
Is it recouping of an old family name or anything? Or no.
It's trying to get votes.
All right.
It's his wife's name. His wife who he cheated on.
I see.
So there's deep love there.
Uh-huh.
It's great respect. His name was Tony Villar. All right. But he changed it. And at the end, I was supposed to bring up Tony Villar. Mayor Tony Villar. And I said, yeah, okay, I'll bring up Tony Villar. And they said, no, you don't bring the mayor up. There's somebody else who brings the mayor up. And I'm like, well, I don't care, but I am emceeing the thing and stuff. Why don't you just, it'll be more streamlined since I'm bringing everyone up for the night. Just give me a couple words and I'll bring up the mayor. I had no axe to grind with him or anything at the time. I'm just going to bring up the mayor and the mayor will do a little speech and then we'll call it a night. And they said, no, we got, Zev Yaroslavsky or something. Or he had somebody, Tom Labonche or one of his handmaidens to come up there and bring him up. This guy brings up the mayor. And then that guy came up and gave a speech that made me want to vomit, which was, look up courage in the dictionary. That's that's Mayor, you know, Antonio Villaraigosa, the man who is single-handedly guiding the city toward the light, a beacon of hope and in a dark cave of dismay. And I was like, I remember just sitting there going, are you fucking serious? You basically get this blowhard who's underneath you in the city council to come up here and just blow sunshine up your ass. And that's the way you need to be brought out on stage. And then I thought, oh, this guy's got a fucking personality disorder, because anybody else would have went,
would be embarrassed.
Yeah, yeah, like, don't do all that.
And what did he do once he got up there?
Said that, you know, nothing. You know, yeah. Children of the future.
Yeah.
He sees great things for this city and its people. I like when they go, and its people. Oh, you weren't just talking about the top layer of soil? You're not talking about park benches and shit? You mean people? I see great things for the city and the people of this city. Oh, okay. So we're not just talking about the roofs on the houses? He's an idiot.
Don't you at least give him a little credit for getting us a train system?
What train system are we talking
about? It's a little light rail system we got cruising around here. No?
So, have you ever been on it?
The gold rail?
The gold rail?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Gold, no, line? The freeway's wide open. I take that 5 to Irvine to do a show once in a while. I do 80 the whole way. Yeah. You know, the freeway. No, as traffic. Let me ask you this, Drew. Traffic, number one problem in the city?
Yes.
Better or worse?
Worse.
Can't handle the number one problem? Have you seen any attempts to alleviate the problem?
Well, that was the trains. Not doing that much.
How about something written on one of those freeway signs that says, right turn, legal on red, which no one knows in this city.
Right.
No, he's an imbecile. Right. You have the personality disorder, but so now Frank, he's going to go to Harvard and make everyone that much smarter.
So, Frank, what's going on?
And this is what you get when you pay for Harvard. I swear to God, I don't want my kids going to fucking college. No, you think about, this is what it is now. You want to fast forward 15 years? What do you think it's going to be then? I mean, seriously, what's it going to be then? There'd be a fucking huge fucking portrait of Stalin on the wall, and they're all going to have to get down and fucking pray to it every morning. Like,
what are you talking
seriously
about?
What is going on? You know what's going on college? You're not getting.
Yes, I do. My kids are in college. It's great.
Yeah, it's great. You're getting indoctrinated into a fucking horrible system. All right. Where were we?
Frank, you went to law school, passed the bar.
Yeah. I did. I passed on the first try. You guys gave me some great advice. I went and I saw some therapy, or had some therapy before I got the results, which helped out tremendously. And I passed. And since then, I've been working at a very big law firm here. And they've been working me a lot. And I've been doing very well, making really good money. And but it's just required a ton of time, a lot of work. It's something that it's a tremendous opportunity that I've been having, and I want to keep it going, but it's causing some strain on my marriage now. And a lot of this has to do with the fact that maybe like 18 months ago or so, I was on food stamps. I come from a big family. I never really had anything. And so this opportunity is something I don't want to squander, but at the same time, I don't want to jeopardize my marriage. And
yeah,
I want to try,
Frank,
to be able
you're,
to.
You're 27. I basically didn't come home from 27 to 35. I mean, and that's what you got to do. If
do you
you're
have
gonna
kids?
Be...
No kids.
All right. Then tell her to cry me a river.
Well, the problem is the problem is you have to pay attention to a woman that says, I'm not getting my emotional needs met. Because
yes,
that's when they cheat. So you've got to sort of figure out a way to pay attention to that, have her sort of sign on with you that this is a temporary state of affairs, that for the next 3 to 5 years, you've got to put your time in. You've got to do that as a young man or young professional, young male or female. If you're going to move on in the world, you got to do that. That's it. You got to pay your dues, so to speak.
We get divorced now. You walk away with a couple of ducats and some memories. You really let me focus on my career for the next few years, and then we divorce? You're going to fucking be driving a BMW 7 Series. You'll have a nice town home.
Forever.
Like,
indefinitely.
Forever. So focus on that.
You know, I'm doing a voicing a documentary about divorce. It's called Divorce Corp. It's really interesting. What a
divorce court?
Corp.
C-R-P. Corp, like corporation.
Yeah, which is really divorce. It's really a fucking mess what divorce does to people. I had no idea it was as bad as it is.
What do you mean?
Just that the system is set up for lawyers to encourage fighting so they can keep billing.
Right.
And the judges are the lawyers, and the lawyers are the judges. That's a good one.
Jesus.
I actually punched the mic.
Yeah.
And it's a very incestuous system. And they're not even courts of law. They're not courts of law. They're called courts of equity.
Every single one of these starts the same. Not every single one, but it all's the same thing, which is everybody says, look, we just want what's best for the kids. Let's just be equitable and fair here. No one's trying to screw you out of anything. You'll be taken care of. And I just, you know, want the kids. And really, what we don't want.
The couple starts that way.
Yeah. Some sort of protracted, long, drawn-out thing that's going to have all the money go to the lawyers. Yeah. And then, you know, the kids are going to be put through hell and blah, blah, blah. That's where it starts.
Yeah.
And then at some point, one of the chick's friends who's been divorced, possibly the cunt that notified the chick at the Y.
Comedy Central girl.
That I'd been talking smack about her kids, mm-hmm. even though I wasn't. Mm-hmm. Probably her. She taps the woman on the shoulder and says, oh, no, 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 no. You don't get it. Just sit down with a guy, a lawyer, friend of mine. Just sit with this guy. You don't even have to do anything, but you are not qualified to what have you. Just have lunch with the guy just so you knew no, because you're going to get fucked out of a whole bunch of stuff that's rightfully whatever. Next thing you know, there's just a, all right, look, we agreed, but I'll just sit down and have lunch with this guy. And next thing you know, he'll handle it. And the next thing you know, I mean, the billing and the amount that goes into the thing. And then at a certain point, the guy just says to the chick, look, let's just settle this and move on. And then it goes on another 2 years. And then when you go back and look at it, the amount that the lawyers got out of it ended up being more than what the chick was even asking for 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's commonly the case.
It's a great system.
Yeah.
They're heroes. Yes. All right. Let's take ourselves a little extendo break, okay. Shall we, Dr.
All
Drew?
Right, fair enough.
I want to thank you guys for supporting the Pirate Ship. And again, we want the free speech to continue. Keep on keeping on. Dr. Drew and I are coming to a town near you. So, especially if you live in the Boston area, check it out at AdamCarolla.com, the live dates. Until next time, it's Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew, Chris Maxipana, and Gary Haftard saying mahalo.
This is Carolla Digital.